Centennial Broadcasting presents Valley Feedback, a look at the people and issues making news in our community.
Welcome to the program. I'm Robert Allen. This week, we're going to hear from NOAA experts discussing key 2017 temperature and precipitation highlights and billion-dollar weather disasters.
Good morning, and thank you, everyone, for joining this call, where today we'll have NOAA experts discuss key 2017 temperature and precipitation highlights for the U.S., as well as provide updated information for those weather and climate events in the United States that reached the $1 billion threshold in damage and losses for 2017. And this call, as well as our other climate calls, are part of the suite of climate services that NOAA provides to governments, businesses, academia, and the public to support informed decision-making. I'm Brady Phillips with NOAA's Office of Communications. We'll have two short presentations. Our first presenter today is Jay Crouch, a climate scientist at NOAA's National Centers for Environmental Information, who will be the one providing the summary for the U.S. December and the 2017 year-in-review temperature and precipitation highlights. Jake will be followed by Adam Smith, an applied climatologist also at NOAA's National Centers for Environmental Information, who will give us an update to the final tally and damage estimates for the weather and climate disasters, again, that reached that billion-dollar threshold in 2017. Also, sitting on deck here, we have Deke Arndt, chief of our monitoring sections, available to answer other questions that may come up. So our first speaker will be Jake Crouch from NOAA. Jake?
Hi, good morning, everybody. Thanks for joining us. The contiguous U.S. saw its third warmest year in 2017. The temperature averaged across the lower 48 was 2.6 degrees Fahrenheit above the 20th century average. Only 2012 and 2016 have been warmer in the 123-year period of record. And this also marks the 21st consecutive year that the lower 48 average temperature has been above the 1901 to 2000 average temperature. Above average temperatures spanned the nation from coast to coast. We saw record warmth across parts of the Southwest, the Southern Plains, and the Southeast. Arizona, New Mexico, Georgia, South Carolina, and North Carolina each observed their warmest year on record in 2017. We did see some areas of below average temperatures across parts of the interior Northwest in 2017. So not everywhere was warm, but when we do average those temperatures across the entire U.S., it ranks as the third warmest on record. Outside of the contiguous U.S., Alaska saw its seventh warmest year on record. An increase or an upward trend in contiguous U.S. temperatures, the last 21 years have all been above the 20th century average. It was the 20th wettest year on record for the lower 48 and the fifth consecutive year that we've been wetter than average. The year started out on a pretty wet note. We had a really wet winter in the west. We had numerous tropical cyclones impact the U.S., increasing the precipitation total, and we saw significantly above average precipitation across the Midwest during much of the year. On the other end of the spectrum, we did have drought conditions in the Northern Plains and parts of the Southwest develop. And the year ended on quite a dry note. December ranked as the ninth driest on record for that particular month. So the really wet start to the year, a really dry end to the year, resulted in the 20th wettest year on record for the U.S. Some significant precipitation events, which Adam will elaborate on a few of these. We did have the catastrophic flooding across Texas and Louisiana associated with Hurricane Harvey, record-breaking spring flooding in the Mid-Mississippi Valley, and a significant precipitation event impacted Missouri and Arkansas and southern Illinois in late April and early May. Many tributaries to the Mississippi River saw record-high gauge levels during this event. We did see the West, particularly California and Nevada, come out of a multi-year drought early in 2017. That was due to significant precipitation in that region early in the year. And as I mentioned, we did have drought conditions, a pretty substantial drought impact the Northern Plains, one of the worst to impact that region in several decades. And that did come about in early summer, so there were significant impacts to agricultural interest in that region. And we did have the large and destructive wildfires in the West. Most notably in California. The really wet winter there allowed vegetation to flourish. And then during the typically dry summer and autumn period, that vegetation dried out, providing ample fuels for wildfires. And it's been a pretty devastating year out west in that respect.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Adam Smith with NOAA's National Centers for Environmental Information. As we all know, 2017 was a historic year for billion-dollar weather and climate disasters. There were 16 such disasters across the United States in 2017, including two inland flood events, one freeze event, eight severe storm events, three tropical cyclones, drought, and wildfire. The cumulative impact of these 16 events exceed $300 billion in damage, which is a new U.S. annual record. There were also more than 360 fatalities with these events. For a deeper perspective, this was also the most costly hurricane season on record of $265 billion and the most expensive wildfire season on record with $18 billion, tripling the previous record established in 1991. Also, Hurricane Harvey's Irma and Maria now join Hurricane Sandy and Hurricane Katrina in the new top five costliest U.S. hurricanes on record. 2017 tied 2011 for 16 events. 219 separate billion-dollar disasters affected the United States since 1980, with a cumulative cost exceeding $1.5 trillion. Indeed, we could say that the nation is weather and climate conscious for good reason, as each geographic region faces a set of unique hazards. Clearly, 2017 underscores what we've seen in the past with regard to better mitigating our risk and an enhanced frequency of weather and climate extremes.
That concludes our short presentation. We will now turn to questions.
The $306 billion, I know you're only looking at billion-dollar disasters and only looking since 1980. There were a lot of weather disasters pre-1980, and something like Camille comes to mind. Is this $306 billion total? Obviously, it's the most expensive year of billion-dollar disasters. Is it fair to take that a step further and say, is it the most expensive weather year, or are there years that might have competed on there? And also, is there any way of just giving, not quantifying, but a general sense, like more than half of this, this increasing trend in billion-dollar disasters, more than half of it is development, population, non-climate, or more than half of it is climate-oriented? I mean, I'm just wondering, which of these two giant factors, if you put them in climate versus non-climate human stuff, is bigger?
To answer your first question, so the reason we began our analysis in 1980 is that's really the year that the public and private data sources are of the best quality. There is another publication, actually, the National Hurricane Center has had for many years that goes back to 1900 and really seeks to answer the question you posed regarding how does this year, as far as the costliest hurricanes, compare to previous hurricane years, such as those before 1980. And certainly we had large years before 1980, but our analysis strictly looks at the 1980 to 2017 period. Dee, would you like to take the second?
Yes, Seth, we really do not. This is Dee Garn, by the way. We, again, for the purposes, especially of relatively quick turnaround like this product, we do not try to parse this apart. We are really just more interested in quantifying what's going on. Both the economists and the physical scientists retrospectively will look at that, but those kind of happen at the speed of science rather than quick assessment.
Okay, and then for Jake or for you, Deke, with the rising U.S. Contiguous U.S. temperatures, is it fair to say that is forced by human-caused climate change? And can you explain to people why, if they're freezing out there today, it still can be on the heels of one of the hottest years ever?
In the general picture, the warming U.S. over the long term, yes, it is related to larger-scale warming that we've seen on the global scale. The U.S. will have a lot more kind of year-to-year variability, so the bounces up and down depending on prevailing weather regimes tend to be a little more dramatic on our country, which takes up about 2%, a little less than 2% of the planet. But the long-term signal, yes, is tied with long-term warming. And then as Jake pointed out, you know, we do live in a warming world, but we still have very cold poles, and we still have the same weather systems that pull cold air away from those poles into places where we live. And so at any given time, we're still going to see blue blobs on the map. But when they average out with a lot of the pinks and reds that we see over the course of the year, we end up resulting with a pretty warm year. Those blue blobs are uncomfortably cold at times, especially during this time of year. But we still are looking at the average over the long term.
I have now 2 years in a row of La Nina. How much did La Nina impact, you think, last year's temperatures?
It's hard to parse out how much one particular mode of climate variability had on the impacts of an annual temperature. With a La Nina, we do tend to see warmer than average conditions across the southern U.S., particularly during the cold parts of the year. And that was the case in 2017, particularly during the 2016-2017 winter. So even though those outcomes are consistent with what we would expect with a La Nina, it is hard to parse out the exact percentage that particular phenomenon had on the annual outcome.
You mentioned the overall warming trend that you see nationwide being part of climate change. Are there other parts of this report, the other disasters or the other trends that you can link, the precipitation or droughts or anything else that we can say is part of the overall warming trend?
So again, from a year to year, we don't try to make that assessment. But what we do know from established science that particularly an increase in big heat waves, their duration, their intensity, their frequency is going up. So that's clearly related to an increase in heat-related disasters that we've seen. We know that over the long term, big rain is getting bigger. So the intensity of really big, unusually large rainfall events, and that is related somewhat to the increase in the flooding disasters that we've seen. But with the big caveat that we are not trying to parse those signals out, and in particularly in any given year, much of this comes down to what kind of hazard struck what kinds of assets and how valuable those were. It's really pulling back into the long-term decade-over-decade signal where you can really kind of get a good idea of trends and how climate may influence them. But those are probably the two that have the clearest signal in the physical science world.
You've been listening to NOAA weather experts discussing 2017 temperature, precipitation, and billion-dollar weather disasters.
You've been listening to Valley Feedback. We encourage your comments on today's program. Valley Feedback is a public affairs presentation of Centennial Broadcasting.